Thank you for tuning in to another Black Coffee, No Sugar, No Cream broadcast. Tonight, I want to introduce to you a girl named Egypt. Egypt Covington possessed an energy that inspired every life she touched. She loved music and was quick to show compassion to those less fortunate than she. She had a smile that would light up a room and sang like an angel. Everyone who knew her loved her. I met Egypt when she was bartending at the Bayou Grill. I would stop in occasionally after work, and she would make my favorite drink that she concocted, sangria with a shot of Crown Royal Apple. I followed her to most of the places she worked to have my signature cocktail because I truly loved her company, and I loved to see her smile. Tonight's show is meant to spread her kindness and share her message. Without further ado, I present to you a girl named Egypt. Hello, hello, hello. What's happening, Detroit? You are listening to 88.1 FM Black Coffee, No Sugar, No Cream, Straight Talk with Valerie. And if you're in the Virgin Islands, 107.3 WVIE. And everyone on Facebook and all around the country, even my son, Shandi, over in Africa, good evening. This show is a little bit difficult for me tonight, but it's an honor to do it because I'm paying homage to a wonderful young lady that I met many years ago named Egypt Covington. Egypt was such a beautiful spirit. That smile would light up a room. She was just beautiful inside and out. And I met her, as the intro stated, when she was the bartender at the Bayou Grill. And every time I would walk through the door, she knew what I wanted. And that would be sangria with a shot of Crown Royal Apple. So I'm getting my drink on tonight in honor of my friend. It's so good. But I also want to welcome her family. I have with me tonight her brother, Dwayne, and her sister-in-love, Lindsay. Say what's happening to everybody in Detroit.
Hello, hello.
What's happening?
What you have in your cup, Lindsay?
Oh, I do not. I wish I had what you had. I mean, still good.
Okay.
I have vodka, LaCroix, and Sprite.
Okay, well, cheers to Egypt.
Cheers.
It's such an honor and a privilege to have you come on the show tonight. I cannot thank you enough from the bottom of my heart. I loved your sister dearly for many years. I would follow her around, you know, to different bars where she would bartend just to have conversation. We had many heartfelt conversations when my husband was transitioning. She was very comforting. And as you know, bartenders, you sit and pour your heart out to them, and they just keep pouring the drinks, and you keep pouring your heart out, you know. So we had that type of relationship, but it was a wonderful thing. I described Egypt as a very humble person who would give you the shirt off of her back. She cared for the less fortunate, and she never met a stranger. How would you describe Egypt? Dwayne, you go first.
You know, it's all love. Egypt was very soft, soft-hearted. She got along with everybody. She was always happy. Even when she wasn't in the best of mood, she was smiling. She just kind of go into the room and people gave her energy. So, you know, behind closed doors, she might have a plain face for a second, but then as soon as she walks out, she's smiling and very boisterous. You know, the beer that was made for her, I know that we'll get into that later, but that's how I describe her. You know, those tones that are bright, the fruit filled, you know, I say tasty because it's the beer, but you know, she was a lovely person.
Yeah, she was tasty. She was sweet though.
Coming from her brother.
So
I'm sure anyone that ever embraced her or kissed her intimately would say that, you know. So you're not so far off, okay, bro?
She's just a sweetheart, you know. So, yeah, you know, firsthand, we started bartending for the first time back at Johnny's in Belleville. So that's where she kicked off her career behind the bar.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Wonderful. How would you describe her? Do you have anything different to say about Egypt than Dwayne?
Well, to be honest, Valerie, like I never met Egypt. I never had that pleasure of meeting her. Dwayne and I met about a few months after her death, and I didn't know about her for a couple months after we started dating. He didn't tell me about her. So, what I would describe from what I've heard from the incredible community that have engaged in us and trusted us and talked with us and learning from Dwayne. We have her dog is right here sitting on Dwayne's lap.
Ruby, is that the dog's name?
Yes, Ruby. Like just from seeing how incredible that Ruby is. Like she was such a nurturing mother to Ruby. She lit up a room. Mm-hmm. From everything that I have heard, every story that I've heard, she lit up a room. When Egypt walked into the room, she lit it up. In fact, you know what's funny? Today someone reached out to us and told us a story about Egypt. There was a girl in band who was kind of getting made fun of, and Egypt was one of the more popular, smiley, outgoing, just like girls in the school, and she was like, no, we aren't gonna do this. We're gonna show her what friendship is. And she took her under her wing, and that's how I know Egypt is just being the most kind hearted. We've heard numerous stories about her sitting by somebody at the lunch table because they were sitting by themselves and Egypt chose to sit by this person. Just that's how I picture her. And that's how I look at Egypt is just the biggest heart and the biggest smile. Clearly I've heard her sing. I've seen the videos of her singing and it's just, mm-hmm. She's just a stunning person inside and out.
She's a crowd pleaser.
I agree.
Yeah.
What is your fondest memory of your sister?
This is going to be so silly, but it'll never leave my head when I used to take my little sisters. We're 10 years apart, so I used to take them to Cedar Point. So I'm going to tell this story. So, you know, she was always wandering around. We'd get to the park. They have some of their friends with them, and the park is pretty big, especially mm-hmm. for a kid. And with the group, we're all sticking together, but there's things going on everywhere. You get all the roller coasters, you have all the shops, and she would not stop getting lost. she'd be looking one way. Next thing you know, we got to go search for her. And we got to send out a search party. We're going around, search for her. We'd find her. And then it happened. Happened three times, and I said, "You know what, Egypt, you're sticking with me." So I went to the gift shop next to us, and I bought one of those little extensions that you put on.
Oh my god! Yes. And I know she was pissed.
She really wasn't biting it. But I was like, "You gotta stick with us.
You can't keep watching."
Yeah, she's boinging back and forth. I know exactly what you're talking about, but you know, hey, if that worked. What was her nickname? Did she have a nickname or a term of endearment that was used by your family?
It depends who you talk to. So,
that's a fun question.
Yeah, that's a really good question, Vanessa. Yeah. So when she was really little, her dad said, Egypt. It's part of her name, but she didn't go by that when she was really young. And he would just terrorize her, Egypt, stop, Dad, stop. And, you know, later on, it started to catch on with her personality because it's so outgoing and unique. But I called her Jackie. She was Jackie to me through and through. But
because her full name, do you know her full name?
Is it Jacqueline Egypt?
It's
Jack.
Yep, go ahead.
Jacqueline Elizabeth Egypt Covington.
Ah, okay. So yeah. I'm assuming that Jacqueline and Elizabeth came from maybe someone else in your family. Is that where? Okay.
Yeah, it was a cousin.
Okay.
Yeah, cousin of my dad. So.
But
yeah.
She was conceived in Egypt.
Oh, really? Now that's fun.
For them.
Oh, that's yes.
Oh, wow. I always wondered where the, and I never asked her, you know, when I was thinking of what would be some of the things I would have asked her if I would have known she was going to be taken away from us. And that question did not cross my mind. But that's awesome. That is awesome.
And my parents came home with each of them with I don't know what you call them, the little medallions, but they're in hieroglyphics.
Uh-huh.
So we have names. You know, when they came home from there, but Egypt,
Egypt came home with them too.
Hey, you know, they needed an extra ticket. They came home with an extra person. You know, we've used some words to describe her. How would you describe her character?
You know, her character, man. Maybe like a chameleon, because she came into all situations and would adapt to anything. So, you know, going into a sad scene, adapt and hug and nurse, and go into a happy scene and love on you and pick you up and you know, a wild scene. Don't get me wrong, we had some great times. So she, you know, she went out there and partied a little bit. And you know, life for the party.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so just every scene she'd be a part of. She didn't take it upon herself to be different from whatever the crowd was. She'd just be.
She was a chameleon.
Yes,
that's what I would say, a chameleon. And she never met a stranger, but was so adaptable, but never lost sight of herself with that adaptability. So at the core, she was always still Egypt, but she blended in so well with everything and everybody. I swear she never met a stranger. So bartending was the perfect side hustle for her. Like, she never met a stranger, and everyone loved her. Like, I know when I would go to Johnny's again or to Bayou and get my drink, if she wasn't there to make it, it's like, that's okay. I don't even want that, you know, and I wouldn't get it. I would just get something else because it just wasn't going to taste the same, right? And so I wouldn't get it if she wasn't there. If she was there, she would have it ready for me.
Yeah.
Soon as she saw me, she would be right on it, send it right over to my table. She knew exactly what I wanted and exactly how to treat me, and that was wonderful.
That's a great memory.
That's a beautiful
thing. Yeah. Yeah, I loved her. She could sing, and that's one thing I did not know until she started telling me about, you know, her love of music and that she could sing. And, you know, a lot of people will say that, but she could really sing. Like, you know, it wasn't, and she would be humble. Well, I sing a little, you know, I dabble in music a little. Girl, bye. You would make the hair stand up on someone's arms. Like, you would blast the whole crowd away with her voice, so angelic, and the range, how she can go to different ranges and sing certain things. And you would just feel it coming from the depths of her soul. So when I heard her sing, and it's like, you sing a little? Yeah, okay. I sing a little. You sing a lot. But she did such a wonderful job. At what age do you remember her beginning to sing?
Oh man, they were little. So Jessica, her I'd say closer sibling in age or year apart, them two girls used to go everywhere. Probably from the age of six, you know, just really young. I mean, they would sing with the TV and stuff earlier and that, but they would actually start to sing for people together, always in like little matching outfits. And that's when it started. they would put on shows and whatnot. So later, a little bit later, as they got into their maybe tweens, teens, they started singing for the church. They would do weddings as they got older, like for any of our relatives and then for some friends. And then they picked up, go through the timeline, sorry.
That's so, okay.
Then they picked up the saxophone, because their brothers, their older brothers played the saxophone in high school. So they picked up onto that. And that wasn't a long-lived thing, but Egypt ended up joining the choir. And that was the ambassadors. That's what Lindsay was talking about when she helped that young lady out. So really getting to the choir. Now she's practicing. Now she's really getting in depth and developing the voice. So she never expressed it like a career until mid-20s to the time that she passed. And then she was
a lot of karaoke,
influencing.
Right? That's mm-hmm. That's when I think she was more
seen. Yes, she was really trying to put herself out there and went to The Voice, tried out for The Voice, made a couple stages. And yeah, so throughout the years, she started really young.
Wow, because I can imagine her running around the house and singing and doing her thing. I can really see her doing that and also putting together the girl group. I'm sure she was the mastermind behind that, putting together the girl group and the matching outfits and all of that and choreographing everything. That's a wonderful memory to share.
Would not know how many times I watched The Little Mermaid so we could sing that part.
Well, that's what big brothers are supposed to do. So that's good. I'm glad that you humbled yourself, because I'm sure you hated every minute of that. But I'm glad you humbled yourself.
10 years older than her, so... God, that means if she was 6 wanting to do it, you were 16, you were like, okay, we'll watch it.
Yeah, but that was really cool, though, that compromise, you know. That's a wonderful memory to share. Do you mind singing your part?
Yeah. I'll save a yes.
Okay. You know, I didn't realize that she won the country idol when I was researching for the show and looking at videos and looking through stuff. She won the country idol. I didn't even know that country was one of the genres of music that she dabbled into. But she did such a wonderful job on that particular selection.
There's one story about that.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Were you going to tell you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So with Country Idol, it was amazing. At the finals, she had chosen a song, and the DJ, he told her, I don't have that song for you. So
that she had prepped for.
That she had prepped for, got ready to,
it was going
to
be her finals. Like, she was going to sing it. And he was like, I don't have that song. What the fuck?
Okay. Oh, wow. I'm sure she was like, what?
So then she chose Carrie Underwood, and she still won.
Yeah.
Because you know what? That made it much more organic.
Yes.
And she just had to pour her heart and soul. But that's how she was. That's that chameleon thing that I talked about. Like, okay, I'm pissed right now. That's what you talked about. I'm sure she was ticked off. Yeah. But she made it, and she did a wonderful job with it. As we go into this break, we're going to listen to a song that Egypt made called Where Did You Go with her friend, Mr. Peace. You have been listening to 88.1 FM in Detroit, 107.3 WVIE in the Virgin Islands, and everywhere around the world. This is Black Coffee, No Sugar, No Cream, Straight Talk with Valerie. And tonight, we are telling the story of a girl named Egypt, who made wonderful sangria that I'm drinking tonight. So we're going to go into this break. Listen to a song called Where Did You Go by Egypt Covington with Mr. Peace, and we will be back.
You know, I don't know why so much pain and loss has to happen. I don't have all the answers. Where'd she go? Only he does. I missed you so. And seems like it's been sometimes the best thing to do is just trust it. It was back in 04 when Grandpa died and my shirt was soaking wet with tears from my eyes. You tried to calm me down, tried to plead your case, but I just spit that face right back in your face. And you said, well, you may not understand now, somehow, someday, some way, you'll find out why it had to be. Yeah, according to his plan, he won't put you through anything that he thinks you can't make it through. With his everlasting love, you may need to scream at the top of your lungs, cause while you think he died at too young an age, it really was his time. There's no reason for rage. He's in a better place now, away from the pain and the stress and the hate and the hurt and the strain. The best way to honor him and his legacy is to live how he did and not question me.
Where'd you go? I missed you so. Seems like it's been forever since you've been gone. Where'd you go? I missed you so. Seems like it's been forever since you've been gone. Please come back home.
I got the phone call from Grandma Flo and I was like, no, God, no, please no. Tell me it ain't so. Tell me that I'm dreaming. Tell me a way to get rid of all these feelings that I'm now having of anger and fear. I just saw Peyton in June of this year. It wasn't that long ago I gave her a hug and told her I missed her and to stay in touch. She said, sure thing, but little did I know those would be the last words coming from her throat that I would hear prior to her death. I'd give anything to hear just half her breath. Just give me an hour or even 5 minutes to hold her once more. Just one last visit. I want to let her know it'll all be okay. But maybe she already is and there's no need to say.
Where'd she go? I missed you so. Seems like it's been forever since you've been gone. Where'd she go? I missed you so. Seems like it's been forever since you've been gone. Please come back home.
You know, it's funny. Technically, you're already home. But it doesn't change the fact that I'll miss you so. So, so much because we crossed paths. And no matter how much time does pass, I always remember of when we first met. You made me feel welcome, taught me how to catch. Was never real close, but when it came to life, you pulled me in close to share your insight. What was right and wrong with the world nowadays? Too many people who are stuck in a daze for days and days, sometimes weeks and months. The only way to beat it was to turn your gaze up, as well as within, while falling to your knees. God, I wish life had some more guarantees, but since it never will, and nothing's ever certain, I won't worry where you went, there's no more burden.
Where'd you go? I miss you so. Seems like it's been forever since you've been gone. Please come back home.
Oh, man. I wish you... I just want to hold you for just a couple more seconds. I want you to come home on Earth here, but it's cool because I know deep down that you're already home. Peace.
Alrighty, and that was a selection called Where'd You Go by Egypt Covington. And while we were listening to it, Dwayne, Lindsay, and I were talking about how prophetic that song was, you know, and how much that song, the lyrics of it, describe exactly how we're feeling right now with her transition and what happened to her. So it was almost prophetic that she was singing that. And now here we are today. For those of you who don't know, Egypt Covington was shot in her home in 2017. And it turned into an ordeal, like a cold case, but her family didn't give up on it. Before we get into that, though, the legacy that she left in the community, I can speak on Belleville because that's where I resided at the time and that's where I knew her from. It hurt and devastated the entire community. And when I say the entire community, I'm not kidding you. The entire community felt a void in Egypt's absence. A blood killer just left behind, wandering the streets somewhere, living their life as this family is devastated. And I can say to you from the depths of my soul that I understand what that feels like, because my brother was murdered. And to this day, I have no clue who killed my brother. It's been about 10 years or so. And I say about because it devastated me, so I don't try to keep up with the exact time or whatever. And I'm sure you understand the place where I'm coming from, you know. So all of the gory details, I don't get into it, and I will not put her family through it. That's why this show is focused more on her life and her legacy than it is her transition. One of the things about her legacy was this beer. Tell us how the beer came about.
Yeah, so she was a salesperson for Rave Distribution in Ann Arbor. So she made an impact on a lot of people, a lot of her clients, and one of them was Arbor Brewing Company. Arbor Brewing Company, Rave, and a panel of a few people came together and brought their talents or what they know of Egypt and came together and said, okay, well, if Egypt was a beer, what would she be? How can we show her legacy through a beer? And so, you know, the brewmaster was there. Some people were there to give their, you know, thoughts of her memories, and we talked about it together. And I brought the ingredients to say what flavors, what was her favorite color, flavor, you know, fruit, flower.
Wasn't it like elderberry in it?
Elderflower.
Okay.
And it was peach.
Peach.
It turned out to be peach. We, you know, I suggested strawberry personally, but their driving beer is strawberry blonde, so we didn't want that to compete. So the biggest part was, okay, alcohol content, 9%, bold, bold and beautiful.
Hear ye.
So okay. We chose a beer that was peach, elderflower, 9%. So I had a kick to it, but it's still light in flavor and summery. It only comes out once a year, right around her birthday. It's seasonal, and her last birthday, they announced that it's going to be a permanent.
Okay.
That it's going to be a permanent beer every season, every summer.
Great. So, Marquise, let's roll the clip of the Egypt's beer. I made a little short video of the beer in the Ann Arbor Brewing Company as a part of a tribute. So let's roll that clip, please.
Arbor Brewing Company and Rave Associates Distributors released a special commemorative beer made in Ypsilanti. A Girl Named Egypt celebrates the life of 27-year-old Egypt Covington of Van Buren Township, a beloved friend to many who worked in the beer and wine industry for Rave Associates before she was murdered in her Van Buren Township home. Her passing brought her family, friends, and co-workers together to brew a beer that celebrates her life, inspired by her many passions. This very special double white IPA was brewed as a tribute to Egypt's love and passion for life. Developed in collaboration with her friends and family, it includes some of her favorites, elderflower, passion fruit, and peach. Egypt's smile would light up a room, and as the promotion for the beer says, we hope this beer does the same for you.
Wow, and so you have a can of the beer.
Yes.
I do. If you don't mind, I'll give you a little description of what's going on here.
No, I don't at all. Go ahead.
So the label, her picture was a sketch from my my best friend. He sketched a picture that was already taken, and we submitted that to them. That's Arbor Brewing Company's logo, the tree. The microphone, that's actually a tattoo that she had on her wrist. Okay. I actually have
that myself. Dwayne has the same one. He got the same tattoo as Egypt.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's the microphone with a bass clef as the wire.
Okay.
Really hard.
And then
her signature was taken out of her journal, a girl named Egypt with a little heart. And Egypt, that's her handwriting there.
Oh, okay.
The flavors there.
So. Wow, very symbolic.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
When it comes out this summer, I'll have to get a can and try it. I'm not a beer drinker, and hopefully Rona is going away, because every damn thing happened to my throat. I'm like, Rona, is that you? So I don't want to try anything new until this shit is gone. But I would definitely love to try a can, and that just touched my heart so much. What a wonderful tribute. And I know that there was a foundation set up for her, but tell me about other tributes that you and your family have planned to keep Egypt's legacy alive.
Yeah, so first of all, the foundation was set up, so with the beer, anytime that you buy a beer, you're actually donating to the foundation itself, and then it's distributed to the certain foundations that she enjoyed, entities that she enjoyed. I don't know. I don't have the names in front of me, but Women's Battery to Animal Shelter. Mm-hmm. And what was the last one?
The high school for
instruments music. And mm-hmm. their music program.
Yeah. Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah. And then Lindsay, if you want to talk about.
Yeah, and so now moving forward, what we are starting to do, so we focused, our full focus was on getting Michigan State Police to take over her case. And so that was the whole purpose of our fight and our drive. And now that that has happened and we've had success with that, we're now looking at other options. We've had people reaching out to us for numerous different opportunities. What we've chosen to do is to move forward in using her legacy to help other families who are going through the same situation mm-hmm. and help maybe advocate for these families who maybe their child's case goes cold because they just say they didn't have enough evidence, they didn't have enough. Maybe it's a small town department, maybe there's some corruption going on, maybe not. We just want to help other families mm-hmm. never have to go through exactly what Egypt's entire family had to go through and have to have this 3-year stall. Really, it was a stall. Van Buren Township Police Department stalled her case for 3 years, and we don't want that to happen to any other family. We want it to be, it should have been solved right away. It could have been. And it was a choice made by the department. And so we want to help guide families through these unfortunate, terrible situations when they can easily be taken advantage of.
To know that they have a voice.
And find their voice and how to use their voice and the questions to ask and the way to ask them. And so that's where we're going now, is to help families to have this. I know we can't help every single family through this, but if we help one family, that's huge. And so that's our plan moving forward, is to make sure that this happens to less and less and less families, and that more and more justice is found and served for families going through exactly what our family has gone through.
Yes, and there's also one more dynamic, and that's Egypt's law. So there was a portion of this investigation where the township left my mother out of this whole situation, and we're calling it Egypt's Law. You're at all parts of the family, well, you know, the mother and father in the situation where there's divorce or anything like that, have to be involved, have to get the updates, have to be, you know, cared for in the same way. And that's something that we're going to push for in the future.
I love that, because I know that you had a rally to bring some attention to this whole thing, and that's wonderful. And it did prompt Van Buren Township to turn the case over to the state police. So Marquise, can you roll that clip, the arrest of a suspect in Egypt's case, please? Thank you.
And we go to new information tonight in the murder of Egypt Covington. We thank you for staying with us this afternoon. I'm Glenda Lewis.
And I'm Brian Abel. Timothy Moore is one of two suspects arrested. Moore has now been arraigned on multiple charges, including first-degree murder. And 7 Action News reporter Kimberly Craig has been following this case for years now. Kim, is there a connection between Egypt and this first suspect?
And Brian and Glenda, we just don't know. And Michigan State Police, they aren't saying. In fact, investigators are remaining so tight-lipped that they didn't even give us a heads up that the first suspect was going to face a judge here at the 34th District Court.
A person like that with a rap sheet that's a mile long, just a felony, 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 felony,
misdemeanor,
misdemeanor, felony, felony, felony. And it goes on and on, how he could even be out to make this happen.
Dwayne Turner is talking about 34-year-old Timothy Eugene Moore, an ex-con now charged with the murder of his sister, Egypt Covington. Over the weekend, Moore was arraigned on multiple charges, including first-degree murder, home invasion, and possession by a felon.
What would give you the audacity to do this to a person who is loved by so many people? What gives you the right to do that? What gives you the right to be the person that gets to have twin babies a few weeks before you go and kill another human being who should be having their own babies?
Egypt was shot to death in her Van Buren Township home on June 22, 2017. And just 10 days before she was bound and shot to death, Timothy Moore was accused of fleeing from police and assaulting, resisting an officer in Washtenaw County. And years ago, he served time in prison for assaulting someone during an attempted armed robbery.
When I think about him, my mind just draws blank. Literally, it just... like, just furious.
Egypt's loved ones just thankful Michigan State Police have arrested two people. We hope to know more about the second person very soon.
We fully are grateful, and we have so much trust and faith in them.
And Timothy Moore was denied bond, and Glenda, I did reach out to his father, but he declined to comment. Back to you.
Still so raw and heartbreaking. Kim, thank you for the update.
You're a neighbor, not a snitch. And Crime Stoppers offers cash rewards of up to $25,000 for information that leads to an arrest in the Egypt Covington case. How does it work? When you call with information, you are never asked to give your name. Crime Stoppers personnel takes the information and forwards it to the appropriate law enforcement agency for investigative follow-up. You are then given a personal code number, which you can use to check the status of your case, report future information, criminal activity, fugitives, or to collect your cash reward. The Crime Stoppers phone lines are secure and do not have caller ID. So call 1-800-SPEAK-UP today if you have information. You are a neighbor, not a snitch. And you're listening to Black Coffee, No Sugar, No Cream, Straight Talk with Valerie. We are here with Dwayne and Lindsay, who are the brother and sister-in-law of Egypt Covington. And tonight's show is dedicated to her, and it's called A Girl Named Egypt. And Egypt, if you're looking down on this studio, this drink is really good.
Yes, for sure. We have so many signs of her being very close by. Yep.
Yeah, she taught me how to make it, and I still don't think I have it down to a science the way that she would make it for me. But my friends and family still rave about this sangria, and so, you know, cheers to my friend that I love dearly. Let's go back to your, I want to call it a foundation, or your work as far as helping the other families. How can people get in touch with you? Is there a website or somewhere that they can go to be able to get in touch with you? How can people get in touch with you if they want your help?
Yeah, so right now we have our Justice for Egypt, the Truth Behind the Investigation website that we have going on, but we are in the process actually today. We came up with a name and we are starting our nonprofit and starting, we won't stop is what it's going to be called. And we're going to be, so right now it's not fully set up, but this is all, we didn't choose, you know, like, and we didn't choose for this to happen right to Egypt. So all of this is coming on us, as, almost like an in real time.
Right, and right. I understand.
So it's all a process that we're learning that we didn't choose to learn, and we didn't, you know, so it's all coming at. So if people want to get in touch with us, and we already have a family we have two families actually that we're helping right now, and that have reached out and asked for our help on how to, because they're following all the things that we have done and that we've actually found some justice for Egypt. It's not fully done yet, but that we've found some justice. And we've had two families that now we're going to help who, both of them, their son, both boys, both of their sons' cases have been closed. So we're going to now reopen those cases, and we're going to help them get them reopened, and we're going to help them find justice that they deserved. They reached out to us on our Facebook page, Justice for Egypt, the Truth Behind the Investigation. And it's easy to join. You just have to answer a few questions, and Dwayne and I are the admins on that, and we'll let you in, and then message me and let me know. You can message both of us. I'm just a little bit better, a little bit quicker. So get in touch with us, and we'd love to help you. Zero cost on your family. There is no way I will ever charge or put a family in any more hindrance is the word that I want to use,
like
any
hardship.
More hardship.
Yeah.
What you're already going through, there's zero cost for us to help you and guide you in a way. I'm not going to do everything for you, but I will tell you what to do, and we will guide you on what to do, and we will be there. We will hold your hand through the entire process for you to find that justice for your loved one. And it doesn't have to be your son, your daughter. It can be your cousin. It can be your friend. It can be an acquaintance that you want to help out. So we are here, and we are just dying to help more and more families that are going through these terrible, terrible times. And it could be a missing person, a closed case, a case that is unjust in your opinion. And we're brutally honest. I will be brutally honest with you. If you follow our page, you know, I tell it how it is. And, I will tell you this, and this is what I suggest to have, you know, to help. But we will be there for you. So just, and my private page, Lindsay Ann. So I'm Lindsay Ann on Facebook, LindsayAnn. And he's Dwayne Turner. So, but yeah, if you follow Justice for Egypt, the Truth Behind the Investigation, and then you'll know our updates on what our nonprofit is going to be. And we are just here for all these families, and nobody should be going through what our family has gone through, every part of the family. And again, zero charge, and nothing will come out of your pocket for us to help you find the justice that you deserve.
You know, awareness is key. So I salute you. I don't even have to salute you. Cheers to that. But awareness and education is key. How to go about it, especially when you don't understand. So someone on the outside looking in that's not so emotionally attached but can have that empathy to walk through and hold your hand It was wonderful. Please keep me updated, or the show's producer, Trisha Duckworth, on any updates. We would love to have you back. If you have any highlights that you want me to run on this show or whatever, you have an open invitation. You can come back on this show anytime. Just give me time, you know, to schedule you in. Sure. Look, you can come back anytime, but let me make time.
I'll tell you the time.
Yeah, but you're definitely just have a place in my heart. It choked me up for a minute, and I said I wasn't going to cry during this show, so I'm not. But to even have you in my presence at this moment and have you share your story at this moment, I have no words to describe to you how I really feel about it. I'm grateful. And if there's anything that I can do, I am willing to do. I love you because I loved her. So anything that she loved, even that little funny looking dog, I love Ruby too. But anything that she loved, I love.
The biggest help is exactly what you're doing right now. And it's by just spreading her story, sharing her story, talking about her, and sharing the amazing person that she is. And we can't thank you enough for sharing her. Ruby's over here snorting. Sorry.
She heard me.
The pug part of her, seriously, she's snorting, and I'm like trying to be serious. She's like, but seriously, the biggest. Oh, here she comes. Come on, baby. Can you hear?
Yes, I can. Look at her with her little funny looking self. Hey, Ruby.
No, she's like, it's so ugly. She's cute.
I know.
She's beautiful.
Anyway, that's the biggest thing that you can do to help right now. And of course, we will reach out to you, and we'd love to come back out here and come on your show and share updates. This is the most honorable. When people ask us to talk about her story, we are like, oh my God, somebody wanted to hear Egypt's story. Like, it is so exciting to us, and we get so pumped up. We get so excited, and we could never get bored talking about her and sharing her story and getting the word out about her and getting the justice that she deserves and that every other family who's going through deserves. So we are so grateful to you for sharing her story and putting it out there for everybody to hear. And I kind of turned it, but like, we are incredibly and unconditionally grateful that you chose to share her story. You could have said, that's not great. You chose to share her story. And that is the most that you could do for Egypt.
Well, you know, what's even more honorable to me is what you're doing makes a statement, and that statement is, she died so others can live, because you're helping them do that.
Yes.
You know, you never stopped, and you're helping other people continue to live and go through the steps of grieving that they need to go through to get these answers. And so again, my hat's off to you, because I've been in your shoes, my baby brother. And it is a feeling that you cannot describe, you know. And even though we both lost a sibling, I'm not going to tell you, Dwayne, that I know how you feel, because I don't. We both lost a sibling, but our emotions could be different.
Sure.
But I have a good idea of what that feels like and what you're going through. And it was not consensus in my family for us to continue to fight as you're fighting. And so I stood down, you know, and it is what it is. However, my hat is off to you for not stopping and for continuing this fight and pushing on for your sister. And give your mom my love and give your mother a hug for me the next time that you hug her. Because the devastation behind losing a child, I can't even fathom, because most parents don't think that they ever. Those were my father's words. My father said, this is very tough for me, not because I'm oblivious to crime and everything that happens in the world, but because a parent always thinks that their child will bury them and that they will never have to bury their child. So the devastation of that is enough. So again, are there any closing remarks? Because that time goes by so quickly and we're on our way out of here. So is it anything that you want to say in these last couple of minutes to anyone as we close this show out? The floor is yours.
Yeah, well, you know, I just want everybody to remember Egypt for who she was. You know, you did it. The community that we worked with so hard to get justice for her did it. Everybody put it out there, and she's contagious. And so it made it easy for us, and we love Egypt for that. And I don't know, I just love all you guys.
Yeah, I would
the
just
love is everywhere.
Piggyback on that, and that just saying that. I mean, he nailed it by saying all that, but and it just little addition to just. A shout out to the incredible community and how much they could have disregarded everything that we had said and not listened to things that we were bringing up. And then we would have been fighting it, just me, Dwayne, and Tina, Egypt's mom and Dwayne's mom. And that would have been a much, much harder fight. We would not have stopped, but it would have been a much harder fight. And we were able to get the community to see what we were fighting for and believe in us and back us. And I hate to say us, because it's Egypt. We're backing Egypt and we're fighting for Egypt and her justice. And because of the community and people like you and just so many, the media, oh my God.
Kim Craig.
Yeah, she is amazing.
And I don't know, Coco McAvoy from Channel 4, do you know her?
I do not.
She's now out in California, but she was a huge advocate for Egypt. And then she got us to Sean Lay. And just the people on Channel 2 as well, if they wouldn't, there's, it's just such a huge, huge group of people who supported Egypt, and it was all for her. And without all of that, we couldn't have. So I guess I just want to end it by saying thank you to everybody, the community. Belleville is a very, very, very special, special community. Mm-hmm. And by Belleville, I mean the surrounding areas, because we know there's amazing. Our community is Belleville, Van Buren.
Yeah, the whole 48111.
Yeah. Incredible. I've never seen anything like it, never felt anything like this before, and just incredible. So I guess I'd like to just kind of end it with just a gratefulness and heartfelt thank you to you, Valerie, to Trishe. Oh my God, Trishe stepped up, and she's the one that helped with that last protest, that
huge
final
voice.
Protest.
That's my warrior sister, and she's the producer of this show. But, you know, when we both get together on something, the room is not big enough. Watch out. So
I'm with you, girl. I'm with you.
So now we have Lindsay. Like, all right.
Yes.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah.
Warrior women.
Anyway, just thank you for everybody.
Thank you.
This couldn't have happened with all of us.
We appreciate you, and we love you. You have been listening to Black Coffee, No Sugar, No Cream, where I don't try to spill the tea or daze you like you had a shot of cheap liquor. I just want you to see things from a different perspective. And tonight, it was from the perspective of my dear friend Egypt's brother, Dwayne, her sister-in-love, Lindsay, and of course, mine. Stay tuned next week, as we will have another great topic for you. You guys have a wonderful weekend. We're going to go out of here with Where'd You Go? Egypt, I salute you and I love you. We're out of here. So long.
You know, I don't know why so much pain and loss has to happen. I don't have all the answers.
Where'd she go?
Only he does.
I missed you so.
And
seems like it's been
sometimes
forever.
The best thing to do is just trust it.
It was back in 04 when Grandpa died and my shirt was soaking wet with tears from my eyes. You tried to calm me down, tried to plead your case, but I just spit that face right back in your face. And you said, well, you may not understand now, somehow, someday, some way, you'll find out why it had to be. Yeah, according to his plan, he won't put you through anything that he thinks you can't make it through. With his everlasting love, you may need to scream at the top of your lungs, cause while you think he died at too young an age, it really was his time. There's no reason for rage. He's in a better place now, away from the pain and the stress and the hate and the hurt and the strain. The best way to honor him and his legacy is to live how he did and not question me.
Where'd you go? I miss you so. Seems like it's been forever since you've been gone. Where'd you go? I miss you so. Seems like it's been forever since you've been gone. Please come back home.
I got the phone call from Grandma Flo and I was like, no, God, no, please no. Tell me it ain't so. Tell me that I'm dreaming. Tell me a way to get rid of all these feelings that I'm now having of anger and fear. I just saw Peyton in June of this year. It wasn't that long ago I gave her a hug and told her I missed her and to stay in touch. She says, sure thing, but little did I know those would be the last words coming from her throat that I would hear prior to her death. I'd give anything to hear just half her breath. Just give me an hour or even 5 minutes to hold her once more, just one last visit. I wanna let her know it'll all be okay, but maybe she already is and there's no need to say.
Where'd you go? I miss you so. Seems like it's been forever since you've been gone. Where'd you go? I miss you so. Seems like it's been forever since you've been gone. Please come
back
home.
You know, it's funny. Technically, you're already home, but it doesn't change the fact that I'll miss you so, so, so much because we crossed paths. And no matter how much time does pass, I always remember of when we first met. You made me feel welcome, taught me how to catch. Was never real close, but when it came to life, you pulled me in close to share your insight. What was right and wrong with the world nowadays? Too many people who are stuck in a daze for days and days, sometimes weeks and months. The only way to beat it was to turn your gaze up, as well as within, while falling to your knees. God, I wish life had some more guarantees, but since it never will, and nothing's ever certain, I won't worry where you went, there's no more burden.
Where'd you go?
I just want to hold you for just a couple more seconds. I want you to come home on Earth here, but it's cool because I know deep down that you're already home. Peace.